It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raynwinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on the assembly line.
Welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raynwinkle along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text. 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, serving Mobile since 1939, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed Seafood Shed.
And Debbie, the Seafood Shed on the hill in Spanish Fork. We're not on the causeway no more.
No.
Well, the building's still there. We're on the hill in Spanish Fork,
Part of the old building's still there, let's put it that way.
There you go, yeah. Some of it's still there. They're trying to figure out how they're going to tear it down and do anything with it. They're doing an awesome job. We had the pleasure of being at Sunset Point, one of their other restaurants this past Saturday, and recognized some of our distinguished veterans from the Vietnam War, the Delta Divers. And I never even heard of such.
Right.
But I didn't realize we had divers. I'm going to talk about the old hard hat divers, they called it, over there at that period of time. So,
yeah.
I said, yeah, y'all cheated us. They said, what do you mean? I said, well, we fired off those big rockets. We got a boom boom. I said, all that stuff over there, stuff would go boom. And they said, wonder who did that? He said, oh, yeah, we had a lot of that.
I'm sure.
Yeah, wonder who did that? But there was a blessing. Those guys had their first reunion in 56 years.
Yeah, that's cool. Ooh. That's cool for them.
Yep.
Really
first
is.
Reunion.
But looks like our weather's turning a little warmer, thank God. I'm over the cold.
Amen. So,
but hopefully this will be our trend from here on out, is to be warming up.
My sister-in-law she's from Virginia, got a picture of me out messing around in that 8 inches of snow, going like, what's going on, you know? And I says, look, you get your snow guru, get him back up there. Yeah. We're tired of him being down here.
That's right.
We can't handle 8 inches of snow. Now come get this dude.
Yeah, exactly.
He's lost.
Y'all don't take it back up there.
Y'all take him back up there. Pin him up. Do something with him.
Yeah. It was cool. It was cool for a day or so, but, you know, other than that, I was over it.
We all had all of that. But, you know, the thing about it, though, is I was wondering how many damaged cars we got out of that, you know?
You know, I have not really seen any on our end of it, like, you know, the dealership end of it. Now, there may have been some independent, repair shops that had some.
Yeah.
Because most of the cars we work on are pretty well, I'm not going to say they're not due for maybe a flush or something, but most of them are a little bit newer, so they probably still had antifreeze and everything so that really wasn't a big deal for them. But looks like we do have a caller on online. Caller, are you with us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, great. Hey, just had a quick question. I've got a car that unfortunately has stopped wanting to crank up for me, and I'm wondering how long before, you know, the car that sits too long, you know, becomes not good, you know, the seals and all that kind of stuff. So what would you estimate the worst amount of time? I've seen some cars come out of the old TV shows where they're pulling them out of garages and they're cranking them up, but my car probably hadn't cranked in about a year and a half.
Yeah.
Japanese car. And I'm afraid if I can't get it to turn over soon, that it might, you know, get worse and worse by the time I get ready to crank her up.
Well, and one of the key points there is that, yes, it will deteriorate more and more the more it sits. Sitting up for a year, it's probably not hurt. You know, the fuel may be starting to get bad, that kind of thing. But if it's been sitting for a year, I would not be surprised if you could charge the battery and crank it and run it, you know, without any other real issues.
And that's what I was doing. I was just cranking it up, but then one day I went out there and tried to turn it over, and it made a big loud clunk like the starter seized up or something, and all the batteries stuff kind of went dead, like it shorted it out or something, and I hadn't been able to get it to turn over. But it's a Mazda, so it's a Japanese car.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on with it.
Well, I mean, and... You know, if you're going to try and keep the car and keep it going, you know, sooner than later, you know, than later would be better, you know, get it checked out, find out what's keeping it from starting, and, you know, at least cranking it up, letting it run for a little while and shutting it off is better than nothing, but nothing beats taking it down the road and driving around something.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
You need to get some heat in the bearings, get some heat in the rubber seals and all that's in that motor. Don't crank it up, just let it run for a minute and turn it off.
Right. That's what I'm afraid of. It's got the rotary engine in it, you know, some little RX-7, so mm-hmm. I don't want it to go too long without it being turned over. All right, I'll see if I can't find somebody to work on one. You know anybody that works on Japanese RX-7s?
Not right off the top of my head, I don't.
Okay.
Especially all not right. The rotary stuff.
Yep.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, fellas. Well, I enjoy your show. Thanks for the advice.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate you.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, when you mentioned that it was a rotary motor, that's cranking it up and just letting it run for a little while and shutting it back off is about the worst thing you can do with a rotary
right.
motor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And if you just crank it up, move it, and shut it off immediately without letting it run and warm up, then you probably won't do that but about two times before it won't crank again.
Right.
You know, you'll have to go through the whole process of pouring transmission fluid down through it to even get it to build compression to where it will try and start again.
Okay, yeah. You know? Well, you know, it's really not good for any of these automobiles, especially a carbureted car. If just cranking it up, say, well, we'll crank it up and run it 4 or 5 minutes and get the battery charged. But no, you're not doing that. What you're doing is diluting your oil, because when we had our cars with the carburetors in them and the distributors, those cars always cranked in a choke mode.
Right.
Meaning that they put like twice the amount of fuel in there that you really needed. But you needed it to get it cranked, and then it would level out and equal out the fuel in there. But that extra fuel is going to go down by your rings and get into your oil and dilute your oil. And I know I spoke at numerous classic car clubs and talking about the same very same thing. Mm-hmm. And I did have a machine shop, so we built those motors. And the thing that I tried to express to them was the fact that you don't do that. If you're going to just crank it up to run it, crank it up and drive it around, and let it run for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. The reason being, that extra gas is going in the oil, and it's diluting the oil. But if you build the temperature in the motor, get the oil back up to a boiling point, which is, what, 212?
Yeah, well, I mean, it usually normal driving, your oil will be somewhere in the 130-140 range, which is enough to vaporize the fuel.
You want to vaporize the fuel out of it and get that excessive fuel out of the oil and get the oil back to its normal lubricant state.
Right.
Or otherwise, you're going to wipe out a rod bearing or main bearing or something of that nature, and it's just not good for it. If you're going to crank it up, run it and let everything get hot.
Yep.
And like I was saying, so did all this. You got rubber seals, and you got your rear main seals and all those. All those time, the seal on the front of your crankshaft is rubber, mm-hmm. and all that stuff needs to get some heat in it and let it swell back to its normal capacity.
Not to mention the motor will actually get condensation inside the motor.
Right.
So you'll have water mixing
with
everything, and that needs to burn out as well.
And you're only going to do that by building the motor to its normal temperature and holding it there for a reasonable length of time.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. So, you know, and I see them all the time, cars sitting up, just sitting out in the yard and not cranked, not cranked, not
right,
cranked.
Right.
And can you get them going again? Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
But it's not good for them.
Nope.
Yeah, by any means. Even sitting inside a garage, it's not good for them. That's much better than sitting outside.
Right.
But if it's climate controlled, it's even better.
Yeah, but it's just putting it in an old garage somewhere or a shed that you don't have temperature control on.
Right.
All you're doing is that thing is building moisture in that block.
Yep.
And that stuff, and it's putting water inside of it, and it will actually rust.
Oh, yeah.
Inside the motor, it will rust.
Yep.
Because all of the oil has drained off all of the components down into the oil pan, and then the condensation builds on the parts and pieces of that motor, and it runs down in on top of the oil and leaves water later on it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
Yep.
You got to be careful with that stuff, guys.
Exactly. Sound like it's time for us to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text. But I know everybody knows that Mardi Gras season is
Mardi Gras,
off.
What is that?
Yeah.
What is that, man? I don't know nothing about Mardi Gras.
That's that time of the year we got a bunch of drunks running around downtown.
Oh, that's crazy. Guys riding by wagons downtown and throw that stuff off over.
And riding horses. Yeah. So.
They riding horses in the middle of the street throwing things.
That's right.
I don't know why in the world they won't do that.
We're probably going to hear from one of those here shortly, too. But,
one of them guys probably. I hope he didn't get caught up in all that rain stuff that they was on their parade.
Yeah.
Hope it didn't rain on his parade.
Let's see. We got a caller coming in now. Let's see who we got. Caller, you with us?
Lay, bottle roulette.
Speaking of the devil.
Oh, hell, it's a greeter from Walmart.
Yeah. And how are we doing tonight, Jarian?
Oh, we doing all right. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing.
Well, you know, it's that time of year, and we always – you know, talk about a little NASCAR racing, but I'm not even going to bring up what a boring damn race Atlanta was this week.
Yeah. I'm about over the drafting on a mile and a half track and that. It just, you know, let these guys race and you know, It's just not real racing, you know, to me.
It's not. Yeah, I'm bored.
You're just sitting there shuffling back and forth, and you know the guy that happens to shuffle to the front right there at the end is the one who gets to win.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the one that don't get wrecked out.
Right. Yeah. Right.
One don't get taken out.
Right.
Well, I'm kind of like you guys. I'm just go back to take the cars off the showroom floor, put a roll bar in them, and see who can come up with the most sophisticated ways to make horsepower with that thing. Because what was it, Earnhardt said, if you ain't cheating, you ain't winning.
Well, you have got to be so close to cheating that it's called the gray area. And if you're not in the gray area, you're not going to be up front.
Yep.
Well, you know, Tom, they got a lot of good drivers.
No, but we've got steering wheel holders now.
Well, I was going to say, they got a lot of good drivers, but they ain't got a lot of good racers.
Right.
Because they can go down the track at 180 miles an hour, and they're fine. But once you start putting them in a pack, they ain't worth crap.
Yeah, you know, and you see a lot of that too. You know, And a lot of these guys are starting out younger and younger and younger. And you would think that would be a better thing, you know, because they have more time to mature and get the handle on what to do when racing pack and all that kind of stuff. And that being said, yes, it is a positive, but, you know, the cars have changed so much that, you know, it's more about the equipment than the guy behind the wheel, you know.
Even Chase Elliott said it last week that the last year and the year before, he just got behind on what he was doing. He wasn't keeping up with the equipment.
Right. Right.
But
yeah.
Anyway, got a call from a friend today. Got a 2010 Chevy Equinox. And we have talked about this thing before. Said it was losing power. Couldn't get it up above 30 miles an hour. It's rattling and popping and this, that, and other. Asked me to come over today and take a look at it. And I went over there. I told him the code reader on it. Just got like 10,000 codes on it.
Right.
Well, I cleared them all off and still running rough as all get out. And I said, well, let me check just one thing. Popped the hood, pulled the dipstick. What did I see?
Nothing.
Milky looking oil.
Oh, yeah.
I told him, I said, well, blown head gasket.
More than likely, yeah. Yeah.
99% chance you got a blown head gasket.
Yeah.
He's got some gaskets that's messed up.
Well, it's burning. It's burning oil. I was sitting there, you know, doing a test on the battery and the alternator system. And, you know, the thing says running up to 2,000 RPMs and hold it, and this thing's blowing out white smoke like it ain't nothing crazy.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's locked the head gasket there. Because it's leaking between the water jacket and the combustion chamber.
Yeah, well, that's definitely what
milky,
it sounds like.
That milky dipstick is just about a dead giveaway.
That's an awesome sign right there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, those really aren't all that bad about head gaskets, but something had to have caused it. So you need to be on the lookout for what actually created that head gasket problem.
Did it run it hot?
Yeah. Whether
the thermostat got stuck one time.
Hello.
It's been burning oil.
Hello.
Thermostat did get stuck one time and it ran hot and you know, it seemed to like it cleared itself up after like maybe the thermostat got stuck and then at some point it let itself go. But you know, I think they're going to go ahead and get rid of the car and see about getting something different.
Well, and the problem is what it would take to fix it properly, the car is almost not worth that, you know, because you'd have to completely build a motor, you know, with new pistons, rings, all that, and whatever repairs you got to do to the head.
Yeah, it's probably warped.
And those, by now, I'm sure it's probably shedding some metal and probably putting trash in the cam phaser solenoids, which means the motor has to come on completely apart and get cleaned out.
It was given codes on body control module, crankshaft sensor, engine control module, everything that could have a code, it was throwing a code on it.
Right, right. And that being said, you know, that particular motor did have problems with using oil. Now, if you bought it new, change oil every 3,000 miles and didn't let it get hot or any of that, it would run 300,000 miles without a hiccup. But if you tried to go the 7,500, to, you know, 8,000 miles between oil changes or 10, you were going to have motor problems with that car, you know, reasonably quick, you know, under 100,000 miles. So it's still all about maintenance on it.
But, you know, I used to have an old F-150 with that 306 in it, and it used oil. It used enough oil where I could probably put a quart in every month and a half, maybe 2 months, but never really had any problems out of it. And when I got rid of it at 300,000 miles, that sucker gun was still running good.
Oh, yeah. That 306, it was a tough motor.
Oh, yeah, it was tough. Yeah. It was a bullet.
Yeah, it was a workhorse, no doubt.
Well, guys, you had a gentleman call in a while ago about storing vehicles, and, you know, I had that problem with my son's Chevy Malibu. It was eating batteries like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's got one of them big old batteries in it. And you could let it sit for like 2 or 3 days, and it wouldn't crank.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be on a brand new battery. Well, come to find out that thing's got a battery in the trunk. And what you had told me about it, that's for that auto crank thing.
Right.
Well, finally went and changed that out. Ain't had a problem out of it since. I can let it sit for a month and go out there and crank it up, and it'll run like good, and I'll take it, run it up and down the interstate and run around the neighborhood and let it get up to temperature and everything, and ain't had a problem out of it since.
Really? Yeah. That's a little unusual, because that usually doesn't create a draw problem with that battery back there, but it is, like I said, that battery is for the auto stop system where it shuts off when you come to a red light, you know. And it just actually helps boost the voltage in the car, so your radio and AC and all that stuff doesn't reset. You know, it just keeps going when you crank the car, when the car cranks it back up on its own. So,
all right, well, I hear the music, so I'll hang on until y'all get back.
All right, sounds good. We're going to take a break and let everyone hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Like the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel in the picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But we still got either, let's see, is this Jarhead or?
Jarhead.
We still got Jarhead online with us.
Yeah, we got Jarhead, and I'll be brief because I know you got somebody holding. But I just want to let y'all know, it is that time of the year, Thursday night, for the best damn parade in society in Mobile, Alabama. So y'all come on down and watch the stripers roll through the streets of Mobile.
And if you see somebody fall off a horse, we know who that is.
No, it's Jarhead.
It won't be me.
It's Jarhead. Yeah.
Riding backwards.
Yeah. Or he'd be riding backwards down the street.
Yeah. It may or may not be, but yeah.
I will be right behind float number 8. So y'all come on out and look for me and holler for Jarhead, and I'll throw y'all something nice.
There you go. There you go.
Save the goodies.
All right, well, get out there and have a good time. Be careful.
All right, guys, y'all have a great night.
Take care,
talk to y'all next week.
All right, bud.
Hoorah!
Hoorah!
Let's see. We have got another caller online. Caller, you with us?
John.
Yes, I am here. Yes, I'm here.
All right, John. We've got this gentleman on here. John's on board with us. He's got an unbelievable, outstanding car show event that's coming on this Saturday over at the Government Street Baptist Church. John, how about enlighten us a little bit about what's going on and what to expect over there?
Okay. The Port City Corvette Club is sponsoring a car show at the Government Street Baptist Church, as you said. This is our 14th annual show, and the second year we've had it at this location. So we've got more space and better facilities, like indoor bathrooms, and we are expecting a big crowd again this year of registered cars and guests, and this is an open car show, So even though we're the Corvette Club, it's for any car and truck, Jeep. And we will be judging them. Registration begins at 8 a.m. And we will start judging about 11 a.m. We have quite a few things going on. We will have a DJ for the music all day. We're going to have elements of the Marine Corps League there to help out. We're going to have ladies from the Quilts of Valor organization who will be donating some nicely made quilts to some deserving veterans on that day at two different times. We are a nonprofit, and we donate to Wounded Warrior Alabama and other local charities and families that we learn that need help. So we're going to have a great time, and we're going to have food trucks. We're going to have the paint lady doing face painting. The weather is forecasted to be near perfect, as it was last year. And we've got a host of sponsors, and we just want everybody to come out, bring your car, or just come out as a spectator and look at all the cars that are going to be there.
John, what have you got for the kids? Don't you have something for them?
We do. We will have two bounce houses for the kids, and we've got the paint lady for the face painting, as I mentioned, and there'll be some other things going on there. Kona Ice will have their truck there for those refreshments, and like I said, two other food trucks. So we've got a lot going on, and there'll be plenty to do for the kids also.
What is the registration fee for the show to enter a car?
Okay, the registration fee the day of is $30. Early registration is $25.
Okay.
And that can be mailed in. We should have a flyer with all that information on our Facebook page shortly, if it's not already there, and it gives all that information. And if not, my phone number is on there if there's any questions or anything like that.
All right. How would it be listed, John?
Port City Corvette Club.
Okay. Okay. How many vehicles did y'all have last year?
Last year we had 175.
Woo, that's a good group.
So we had a good showing, and we hope to see even more this year.
Yes. Yeah, you could easily get 200 vehicles over there.
We could easily, and we have additional parking space if we go beyond that.
Right. Well, you've got an awesome parking area back there for viewers and people that come in to see the show. And it's really a neat event there to go. I went last year to that event. Do you use the 100-point judging system?
Well, we use something very similar, Tom. Something very similar.
Okay. So you actually have individuals, judges, going around and judging all of the vehicles?
We do. They look at five different categories of each vehicle. Each judge will look at the same one for each car for consistency, and then we'll add up the scores, and we have lots of trophies to hand out, so it ought to be a good time.
Who are some of your sponsors, John?
Well, we have a number of them. Our three biggest sponsors are Terry Thompson Chevrolet and 68 Ventures out of Daphne. And we have Leo's Corvettes out of Pensacola.
All right, 68 Ventures, that's John Cox, isn't it?
I'm not sure about that, but you're probably right.
Yeah, okay. I think they're big builders over there. He's also a Marine lieutenant, veteran.
Is that right?
Yeah, awesome guy. Yeah, they help
sponsor. We have about a Go ahead.
They actually helped sponsor the Senior Bowl this year.
Yes, they did. I saw that.
Yeah,
went
yeah.
to the game.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, man. You've got an awesome venue there. And I like the way you had the cars set out and the fact that it was a good area to walk around in. It was no problem, and you had easy access to some of the food trucks and all. It was a good car show event, and it was a good deal. I understand you've got the Marine Corps League from Foster Harrington will be doing your judging.
Yes, they're going to be assisting our judging, and they're going to be involved in our flag raising and national anthem that we try to kick things off with in the morning.
Cool, okay. Yeah, I know a bunch of those guys.
Good, good.
Yeah, we'll actually...
Some of them, they're really nice guys.
We'll actually be in Chatham doing the same thing for the city of Chatham, Alabama, so I know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, John,
it's
a pleasure to have you on board here and get the word around to any of your other car show people that if they're going to have a car show, if they let Kevin and I know, we'd be glad to try to get some information out to our listening audience out here and maybe have them to come over and participate in your car show.
Yeah, that'd be great. And thank you for having me on and letting me talk about it.
Sure. That's what we're here for, brother. Y'all have a blessed one.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, John. Okay, Port City right. Corvette Club, Government Street Baptist Church on Government Street at the I-65. It's an awesome location, centralized location.
Mm-hmm.
Nice bathrooms. And they got some good chow over there and some awesome vehicles.
Yep, yep. I've been to it several times myself.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, it is a really good day.
Always
good
a nice
group
show.
Of guys, too.
Yeah, yeah.
They do
and this is a
good
really good time of year to have it.
Yeah.
You know, the weather's usually pretty good. You know, it's not hot yet.
Right.
You know, hopefully the cold will be gone, which I think this weekend is supposed to be nice.
Right.
But,
so true.
You know, it's that's one of the bad things about car shows down here during the summer is just it's so hot.
It's just so hot.
You can't enjoy yourself.
Yeah, that's the reason I have mine in September.
Yep. Yeah.
The Veterans Heaven Veterans Car Show and Jeep Bash on the Bay will be another. We'll have our fourth annual this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Battleship.
Yeah, and that'd be a good show out itself. You know, and the Battleship's a great location for it too because you can park a bunch of cars out there in the field.
Yep. I've seen 1,000 over there.
Yeah.
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 And I mean, it was tight, but they made 800 to 1,000. Mm-hmm. So you could squeeze them in.
Oh, yeah.
But it'll kill everything else in the battleship. There won't be anybody trying to get to the ship to look at it.
Yeah. No one be in there seeing the ship.
No.
But of course, there again, you can come see the car show and sneak off and, you know, tour the battleship.
Right. Yeah. You can see the battleship. Go. You know, a lot of people like to go and see the submarine.
Yeah.
You know, very few places in the United States where you could actually go on a submarine and actually get in the submarine and walk around in it.
Yeah.
To see what it was like and going like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are, you talk about these guys being heroes.
Yeah.
I know the guys that was on this thing was a hero.
I went on it a few years back and, you know, just looked around and that and it was like, there is no way I'm getting on this thing with 100 guys.
No.
And being, you know, under the water for days at a time.
Right. You wonder where those guys went to smoke a cigarette.
Yeah.
How do you do that on a submarine? You got a surface, and everybody hits the deck.
Yeah.
Burn a pack of cigarettes an hour.
You're right. Exactly.
They have 9 cigarettes in their mouth.
Yeah.
Trying to catch up.
Yep. Oh, I tell Lord. You, that's.
No, thank you.
I appreciate their service on that.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Cruising down to New Orleans. Tonight it seems
Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's pounded down, loaded up and trucking.
We gonna welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But I was just actually looking at some of the texts, and one of our listeners was wanting to, cover some tips about flushing your radiator, and which it's actually, this is probably a good time to talk about it, because it's, we're past the winter months. It's, you want to get your cars ready for the spring and summer travel. One thing about flushing radiator is you really want to start off with going ahead and draining your coolant system, putting a flushing agent in with clean water, let it run, and let it run for probably 30, 45 minutes or whatever, or longer if you can, and let it sit there and clean the inside of the coolant system, get all the sediment broke loose, and then you drop your coolant again. Me personally, I like to take the thermostat out and close the system back up and take the upper radiator hose loose from the radiator and just put a water hose in the fill tank and crank it and run it, and everything that goes into the motor gets poured out right there at that upper hose before it goes back into the radiator. That way, so all the sediment and everything that you're flushing out doesn't go right back into the system. It comes through the motor and everything, and it actually just goes out on the ground or into a bucket or wherever you're trying to do it with. And you do that for a while until everything runs good and clean. Shut it down, cool it off, and either replace or put the thermostat back in and refill with coolant and go again. It works very well. So it's very, very good maintenance. These newer cars with the metal cooling systems, you normally have aluminum head, a cast iron block, and you'll have a plastic aluminum radiator. There's so many dissimilar metals that it will create corrosion in there. So it's a really good thing to do a flush on your cooling system. Usually every 3 to 4 years, keep it clean, and that way you don't have to worry about it when it hits summer or the winter time when it's about to freeze and you're wondering, well, you know what? I ain't checked that antifreeze in my
I know, car. In the last couple of years, yeah. No.
Yeah.
You can't afford to do that now.
No. But
it's like you were saying a while ago, you take a vehicle that you properly maintain it, and all you're not going to get but 100-something thousand out of it. Mm. But if you do properly maintain it, mm-hmm. Then you can look for 250 or 300, just like like Jarhead was talking about a while ago.
Yeah. There's... We don't, at a dealership level, we don't see the extreme high mileage cars
right,
a lot,
right.
But we do see them from time to time. There was a Equinox, a fairly late model Equinox that, it had, 300 something thousand on
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
It must be an interstate car though. I mean, somebody.
I'm sure they're using it for.
Yeah.
Travel or work. You
right.
know, work, travel, yep. and that kind of stuff. But which they're really, I've owned two of them. The last one I gave, after we run it for a while, we gave it to my son and daughter-in-law, and it's been a really good
sure,
little car.
Yeah. Oh, they find vehicles.
Yeah. It's actually a really good car. It's safe. And that's the reason we gave it to them for, my daughter-in-law, my son, and my two grandbabies.
Right. Right.
Give them something dependable and safe to be
shoot,
in.
Yeah. I mean, that's all we got to live for, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. But, they're really good little cars, and they get good fuel mileage. They're very dependable, and they'll just keep on running.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, it all goes back to the maintenance, and the maintenance mm-hmm. factors are not as great today as they have been in the past that we knew of before, where you had to change you had to, every 30,000 miles, you had to get a tune-up.
Right.
You know, plugs, points, condenser, and all the filters and all the spark plug wires and distributor caps and rotor buttons and all that. Well, we don't have all that anymore.
Right.
You know,
right.
But we do have some minor things, the filters and, help belts and hoses that you have to check. But thank God, they're about five times better than what they used to be.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we don't have problems with them like we did. But
it's day and night difference.
Don't become complacent with that, though.
Right.
Do your maintenance.
Right. You know, if you do your maintenance, the cars hold up very well. And, and I know that most of the manufacturers have gone to a very extended oil life maintenance schedule on the motors. It's 7,500
yeah.
plus, but you know what? Oil changes are cheap insurance.
Right, right.
You know, I'm still that. At least every 5,000 miles, change oil.
5,000 miles is a good figure. Yes.
You know, about me personally, I'm still at 3,000.
Yeah.
You know, I changed mine.
Well, that's your ritual. You know.
Well.
And that's what you do for a living. So it's
in the 40-plus 45 years that I've been driving, I have yet to have a oil related failure
Amen.
In any car I've ever
right.
owned.
Right.
You know.
And me either. Yeah.
And everything has been changed at 3,000 miles.
Well, we don't realize just how important that one liquid is, but that liquid is like blood. That's the blood of the car. It's
yep.
like our blood.
Yep.
If you have a problem with your blood, you're going to have a bad problem with your body.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you need to change the blood in your car.
And I'm not going to sit here and say that I baby anything either.
Oh, hell no. Run it hard, put it up wet, baby.
It's
run it hard, put it up wet.
Yep. Yeah, that's the key thing.
Yep.
But I know we're running up to the end of the show, and I do want to thank everybody for listening, and hope everybody gets out and has a good Mardi Gras. I know we're right in the middle of that.
And Lord knows we pray that it's a safe one.
Everybody try and be safe.
Right.
Pay attention to what you're doing. Don't be drinking and driving and going down there. Yeah.
And keep those dang cell phones out of your hand. Yes.
Pay attention to what you're doing.
Keep the steering wheel in your hand, not your cell phone.
I was talking to someone the other day that went to their first parade, and, I got hit and hit three times with with stuff thrown from the
float.
It's like, because you wasn't facing it.
Right.
You was turning around talking to people. You need
right.
to be watching where it's
you
coming
need to
from.
You watch where it's coming at until you duck and dart.
Yep. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show tonight, and we'll be back next week.
And to all of our first responders and our veterans, a great hoorah. Thank you for your service.
Older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing.